Yo guys, how's it going? It's Wednesday, January 9th, 2013, and this is the fifth episode of Social Echoes, the True Voice Media Podcast. My name is John Steyert, and if you're ready to go, let's get rolling. Thanks again for joining us here on Social Echoes, the True Voice Media Podcast. We're going to get to our guest, CeCe Chapman, in just 1 second, but I very quickly wanted to express my thoughts about something I read the other day. In one of his latest posts, Seth Godin described how emotionally draining the process of writing his latest book, The Icarus Deception, was, and just how much he began to question and doubt himself. No question about it, Seth Godin is a very sharp thinker and one of the most respected minds in social media and in creativity in general. The fact that he himself was questioning his own creativity reminds us all that there is the ongoing battle between risk and reward and creativity. And I think it's extremely appropriate that we have today's guest on, that we have today. CeCe Chapman is the co-author of Content Rules. He's the current author of the newest release, Amazing Things Will Happen. And he is the founder of the Cleon Foundation, which carries the flag for all things creative. It's my pleasure to introduce all-around good guy, CeCe Chapman.
How's it going, man? I'm psyched to be here today. I haven't done a hangout in a while, so this is fun.
Yeah, I was very excited when we figured out how to utilize the hangouts in terms of just kind of uploading it to YouTube and then extracting the audio, placing that on the iTunes,
yep,
and Stitcher Radio. So speaking of podcasts, I've always been really enthralled with podcasts and radio. It's one of the ways I've learned throughout my entire life. But it's interesting. I've heard you referred to as the Podfather.
No.
is there truth to the rumor that you had a hand in getting Mitch Joel to start Six Pixels of Separation?
So I did my first podcast in December of 2004, and Mitch, I had been a guest on Across the Sound, which was Joseph Jaffe's podcast, and soon after that, Mitch was on it, and he's like, I want to start a podcast, how do I get going? And Joe directed him to me, and so Mitch emailed me, I didn't know who he was, and instantly, you know, we always joke about that, he said, I want to start podcasting. I said, okay, PC or Mac, let's start there, and then the rest is history. And it's funny, I just had dinner twice this week with Mitch, actually. We were both out in Vegas for NMX, so yes, I can take all, he calls me his podfather. I am not the podfather, but I am the proud podfather of Mitch Joel.
Well, we thank you very much for that. That is absolutely, that is one of my favorite weekly things that comes out of the internet every week. And actually, I'm going to have Mitch Joel on in May when his book comes out. So
I cannot wait for his book. I'm really excited.
Yes, I'm sure. So CeCe, you fancy yourself a storyteller. I've seen that in different blog, or yep, not blog, but no, I guess blog,
yeah,
bios of yourself. What is it about your background, interests, and upbringing that has kind of brought you to the point of embracing the chance to tell brand stories?
It's funny because, you know, nothing, I mean, I love my parents, but they're not super creative people, you know, they're blue collar workers, but just, I guess I've just always, you know, growing up in, you know, in the small town, New Hampshire, and, you know, I had lots of free time roaming around the woods. You know, we didn't have video games. We were out in the woods playing, we were playing war rather than, you know, Black Ops, you know, shooting each other up in the woods and outdoors doing stuff and playing, and just, you know, my mind could just wander. And I've always enjoyed, I mean, I've taken pictures my whole life. When I was younger, I used to say I wanted to be an artist. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if it was, I used to draw a lot more when I was little. My dad blames the computer for taking away my drawing, because when I discovered computers, I used to doodle a lot, and now I don't do that. Oh, I still doodle, but I don't draw like I used to. So I've always been into the creative things, you know, writing short stories when I was younger. I still dream of writing fiction at some point, you know, whether I just publish it for myself or we'll see. But I just, there's so many stories out there. There's so many people. I love meeting new people. I love experiencing new things. And I've always gotten a personal satisfaction from then taking that and sharing it with others. And I think that's why blogging so grabbed my attention when I first did it, because I was like, God, I can say anything I want. I can share everything or nothing. And, you know, and when podcasting started up and just, you know, getting feedback from listeners around the globe saying, thank you for doing this. And just this week when I was out at NMX, I had breakfast with a listener from the early days that we had just had never met. But he's like, oh, my God, you're going to be in Vegas. Can we please meet? And I was like, yeah, definitely. That'd be great. And so I've always told people, you know, if you can create something, whatever it is, whether it's a business or a store or, you know, whatever, but if you can create something that you love doing and somebody else gets satisfaction out of it, that's just like the coolest thing in the world. And I've been very blessed that I've been able to do things I love doing and people seem to appreciate and enjoy them. So it's the best. Not, you can't always find that combination. I've been very, very fortunate to have found it.
Yeah, and I think that you're certainly very good at what you do. So we thank you for your creative gifts and your wanting to spread that throughout the world and
through
social media especially. I think that I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Growing up, drew a lot as a child. I did a lot of rebranding for a lot of sports teams, whether it was different jerseys and hats and things. And I actually wish that I had kind of explored more with a computer, simply because I think that I'm more on the graphical side than I am just kind of like, you know, just doodles and things. And certainly I doodle still, because that keeps the creative juices flowing.
For sure.
So what was the New Media Expo like? What were some of the things that were happening out there?
It was interesting because, you know, I remember back in 2005, the Portable Media Expo was like the podcasting. It was the first time a lot of podcasters saw each other. So I've been going out, you know, that has since been bought by Blog World, and now they've been rebranded NMX. So it was a fun mix of old and new. And it was interesting because, you know, podcasting's making a sort of comeback in the marketing space and the business space. Unfortunately, there's not as many creative podcasts happening. I miss some of those, you know, crazy people trying different things. NMX was, it was good. It was one of those. I'm at this weird point in my career where, you know, I don't get a lot out of the sessions because a lot of them are, you know, they're beginner or they're skills I've already developed. And but don't get me wrong, they were packed. The sessions were full of people. You know, I know at the opening keynote they asked, you know, how many people is this your first time? And while I can't count, I was in the back of the room and it looked like at least over half the people in the room were brand new people. And that's, you know, so you have to have those introduction things. So I'm, and this isn't a slam on NMX all. It's just, it's a perplexing thing when you get to this point. It's like, I know Mitch Joel and I were having this conversation and Ann Hanley was there and Amber Naslin and Matt Ridings. We're talking about where do we go to get challenged and inspired and educated? Because it's such a different, you know, the easiest, you go to TED. Well, that's not an easy answer. So it's, I've got this post I got to write this week about how it's an interesting challenge for, there's an opportunity for some new event to come forward to take it to the next level. But I think NMX, you know, it was really good turnout, interesting sponsors, you know, lots of different people on the expo floor, a variety of new people coming in. It wasn't the same old people. So it was a good time. And I'm still catching up on sleep because it was Vegas. So you don't get a lot of it.
Yeah, CeCe told me before we started that he took the 6 a.m. flight red eye in here, had an interview 2 hours before we're doing this one, and it was nice enough to join us. So
yeah, eight hours ago I was landing in Boston from a red eye back from Vegas. So you're lucky because the last interview I said either it's gonna kill me or it's gonna like get me wake me up, and it woke me up. So I'm wide awake now.
I do not envy you at this current time.
It's part of the life, unfortunately. For good or bad, it's just part of it.
I want to touch on something you mentioned at the start of your last answer. You know, my boss, Jeff Gibbard, and I, the president of True Voice Media, we were talking about that in the office the other day, just saying that, you know, there's a huge disparity between the beginners and kind of where a lot of us that are in the industry every day, in and out, are with the social technologies and the principles and the philosophies. So, like where do you think people can go currently, if there is anything, for like intermediary stuff?
I think there's intermediate stuff. Like NMX had a lot of intermediate stuff. They do a really good job of laying it out, beginner versus intermediate. And the intermediate stuff was, there was definitely some, you know, not necessarily hands on, but there were some definite, you know, not basic stuff at all. And I think there's a lot of, I think it's much easier for events to get trapped in the focus on the beginner only. And I think most events need to really step up their games to have that higher level, detailed, not 30,000 foot, you know, more case studies, more this is how we did it. I think one of the – my favorite part, and I'm a little biased because I'm personal friends with the guy who gave it, but Scott Monty gave a closing keynote on day one of NMX, and he talked about the Ford journey since he got there, and it was very case study. I mean, it was – numbers. It was here's there was one example of a campaign that failed. I mean, not it wasn't like crash and burn, but it was not as successful as the other ones. And he shared that to say, and here's how we're learning from it. And you don't hear many companies doing that, especially the size of Ford. But I also want to hear about, like, I want to hear more small business stories about the success and the failures, because the failures are the thing we never talk about. And I think that's, you know, when you're confident enough to say, listen, I did this and it failed, and here's what I'm learning from it. You know, because let's face it, as long as you get up from your failures, it's okay. You don't want to fail, but everybody does. And I thought Scott's keynote for a keynote was really interesting because it was so detail orientated. It was lots of show and tell, lots of, you know, really good takeaways. And I really hope people really watched it and took it in, because I know it's going to be up online at some point, which will be good because it was really, really well done. And not just because he gave me a big shout out at the beginning of it, which made my day. But I think there are things out there doing intermediate, and there are things like, you know, there's sites like, you know, Treehouse if you're into coding, or Lynda if you're into want to learn specific programs and knowledge. You're starting to see more online training courses being developed to teach those skills, and it's not just the how to program or how to use this solution. It's much more, here's how content marketing works, or here's time management or career advice or whatever it is. So there's this opportunity, and people are starting to wake up for it.
I think it's a good transition that you mentioned failure, because certainly I have failed plenty of times in my short 25 years on this earth, and I'm sure I will do many more things that fail. Hopefully not so much.
25. Dude, you've got a full life ahead of you. Make the mistakes now. It's the best time. Get it out of the way.
Well, then that's a great transition then for talking about your book, Amazing Things Will Happen. CeCe, there's a lot of people out there who've had a really past few years, and they may not share your ever-flowing optimism. So tell us why. Why will amazing things happen?
Well, firmly believe, and it was difficult because I know there's a chapter in there when I was talking about, you know, finding the right job, and I said, honestly, in today's world, if you have a job and you're getting a paycheck, you're better off than a lot of people, because we're hurt. I mean, anywhere in the world, but I mean, I know here in America, we're hurting. You know, there's a lot of people out of work and struggling to get by, and, you know, the premise of the book, I was really hoping to, you know, the best review I've seen so far was someone said, it feels like CeCe's giving me a hug and kicking me in the ass at the same time. And I was like, ah, oh, that's so perfect. Because I firmly believe amazing things, whatever that is to you, will not be handed to you. They're not going to be just given to you. You're not going to just wake up one day and magically everything's going to be better. Whether you've got the job you want right now or you're struggling to get by, you've got to know, I think the biggest thing people have to figure out is what they want, you know. Is it just a job? Is it just a pay? And I understand at some point, yes, that is all you need, because if you have a family to provide for, we all have to make money. That's the nature of the world. But at the same time, I talk to people all the time. They're like, well, are you doing what you want to do? If you do have a job right now, you've got the basics covered. Are you doing what you want to do? And if the answer is no, then you've really got to figure out, okay, well, where do I want to get to? I wish I just drew a blank because I wish I remembered who said this, but recently I saw someone, he said, everybody should have side projects. And I went, that's great. And I wish I could remember who it was, because it was somebody on stage semi-recently, and I said, that's so right. He was like, listen, if you're not happy with what you're doing, then figure out what you want to do and do it as a side project at night. Yeah, you're going to have to not be able to watch as much TV or goof off, but if you really want it, you'll figure out a way to get to it. And the basics of the whole book is that it's knowing what you want, figuring out how to get there, and then working your tail off to make it happen. That's why I got on a red-eye flight last night, because I didn't want to be part of my amazing life is being home with my family. And I could have easily stayed over a night in Vegas, there was a noon flight home today, but I wanted to be here today when my kids got up. So it just, you make those sacrifices and you work hard to make it happen.
So if there was one really small lesson where you're not giving away something big in the book, and I certainly want people to go out and buy it and read it because I think there's a lot of really great information in there.
It's little, so I won't give it all away. It's little.
Okay. But just in terms of like if there was one little lesson that you think people could really kind of latch on to and they could even make a small change in their life today, what do you think it would be?
It's funny. I had someone ask me this the other day, and I said one of my favorite bits of advice in the book is the idea of being a duck. And what the whole premise of it is that every single day we run into people in our office or at church or the parenting group or at the coffee shop, and something they do or say or believe bothers us. And the idea of being a duck is sort of like if you've ever seen a duck in the rain, they just keep doing what they do. The water washes off them, they keep being a duck. And I think more people need to learn how to let the things that, if it's not affecting you, if it's not hurting you, to just let it roll off you and not let it hurt you or get to you. Because too many people, especially in social media, get caught up in the stuff they don't need to pay attention to. You know, oh, that person said something I don't agree with. Well, do you really have to comment on it? Or can you just let it wash over you and move on with your day and be productive and focus on the things that do make you happy? And I don't think enough people do that. And it's hard. It's a, even there's some days, even me, I mean, you see something, I'm like, oh, I just want to smack them for no, but then I'm like, wait, what's that going to do for me? So be a duck and instead of screaming at the person, quack, and you'll laugh at yourself and then you can move on.
I like that lesson. I think I have seen, may I've seen that mentioned in a couple different blog posts, whether it was from you or somebody else mentioning the book, Be a Duck. And I think that's a great lesson for me personally too, because, growing up, I'm gonna sound like a little, whiny little kid, but I moved just 4 miles away when I was 9 years old, and I, left a whole bunch of different group of friends and things, but I had very thin skin. So just knowing that. Everyone, I think my dad probably told me the whole simple idea of kind of what you're kind of alluding to, be a duck. Don't let it bother you so much. Focus on the things that make you happy. It's tough to tell a 10-year-old kid that, and especially when he's not totally confident in himself and different things. But
It is tough, right? But you look back now and you remember, and I know probably I think most of us do this, go, why didn't I listen to him back then? You know, I have a my son's about to turn 14, so I'm at that point now where I'm like, dude, I'm giving you gold here. Trust me, you know, high school's not going to matter as much as you think it's going to, you know,
Nope.
but we didn't listen to our parents. They're not going to listen to us, and then at some point they're going to say it to their kids and go, whoa, I just, it's just, it's the nature of the, but I wish they would listen. And that's why, I mean, that's why I wrote the book. I told the kids, I'm like, this is everything I'm going to try to teach you. Now you got it in a book. You can't, you know, so who knows? Maybe someday they'll give it to their kid. My grandkids will read it. That'd be trippy.
You're a big proponent of getting people to pursue their passions, especially like you just said, and amazing things will happen, and especially in the creative passions. Is that one of the main reasons that you found the Kleon Foundation?
It is. I think people now, you know, there's been all this flack lately about people chasing their passions and should you do what you love? And I understand that you can't always do what you love, but I think you have to try. And the Kleon, I've always, my dream from day one has always been to open up a school for kids, to expose kids of every income level, of every area to creativity. So, you know, give a kid a camera, teach them how to use it. What could they come up with? Put a girl on stage, you know, teach her theater or improv comedy. What is she going to come up with? You know, that those skills are good for business. And last year there was two things that made me form the Kleon Foundation. One was I went to Ghana, Africa with the One campaign, and you know, seeing the poverty on one end and the opportunity on the other changed my life. And then I went to this conference called the World Domination Summit, where it's nothing but people who want to live an inspired life. And I went, wow, I have to do this. So I started the Kleon Foundation. The tagline is to make the world better through creativity. And my hope is to work with products and companies and services who are trying to improve the world, whether that's a product like a BioLite stove that's, say, you know, going to make cooking easier in other places, or it's an educational institution. But I also want to work with companies to develop social good. I hate the term social good, but I get it. I mean, more big businesses need to partner with NGOs and nonprofits that fit their corporate culture, and I want to help them find that. So, yeah, the Cleon Foundation has just been launched, and I'm honestly getting all the everything lined up and stuff, which that's the side of the business I don't enjoy. I enjoy doing the work, you know, getting out there. You know, I told my accountant, I'm like, just keep me out of jail. You know, don't make any, don't do any, you know, don't make me do something stupid with the money that I regret that I don't understand. So, but yeah, it's, and my wife asked me, she goes, so is this just going to be another one of those things where you do it and you see if it works? And I'm like, no, I hope this is my legacy. If I leave one thing behind, I hope it's this.
Well, that's fantastic. But as you said, speaking of the work, what does a typical day for CC Chapman look like at the Cleon Foundation?
I don't know yet. I honestly don't. I mean, literally, I don't know yet because I've been so focused on other things. I haven't really done, but I mean, my day to day is, you know, I get up at 6 o'clock and get the kids ready for school, get them out the door. And then I try to write as soon as they leave. I try to write for a little while, whether it's a blog post or an ebook or something, you know, for the next book, you know, it depends what it is, but I always try to write something. And then it's, you know, it's right here. I mean, I work from home. So if I'm not on the road speaking or consulting, I'm here talking to people, whether it's doing something like this or developing a new product or service. It's just, you know, go, go, go till the kids get home at, you know, 2:30, 2:40, which is going to be here in a couple minutes. You know, they come in and then I usually help them with their homework for a while, make dinner for the family, do all the after school stuff, sports and whatnot, and then hang out with my family. And once they go to bed, usually I'm up for another couple hours doing something and trying. My new thing is trying to always read before going to bed, something which I'm trying actively to do. So that's my day most days, but it's meeting people. It's researching stuff, you know, finding new things that are out there that I want to talk about and interact with, and just constantly searching, consuming, and then constantly creating at the same time.
That sounds like an awesome day, just in terms of the overall balance of everything.
It's tiring, but I love it.
I would imagine so. Yeah. Speaking about your kind of, I didn't have a resolution going into 2013. I'm on this, I'm working with a doctor and doing this Project 180 thing. So I didn't have to worry about making the usual resolution for going for weight loss, but certainly reading. And I think that I mentioned this on Twitter the other day. It's certainly not a new observation, but I think the most well-read people end up being the best writers. Agree or disagree?
I agree fully. I think, and just better people too. I mean, I think, you know, reading a variety of stuff. Like I realized we were having dinner the other night, and I realized how little fiction I've read in like probably the past 2 years.
Same here.
I mean, you know, I read The Hunger Games, but that's not even, you know, but I want to read more just literary fiction. I haven't read enough of that. And I realized, you know what, I got to mix that up and read some more of that, because you do get stagnant. If you're just reading, you know, business books, it's the same thing goes for, you know, online. If all you're doing is reading the news sites that interest you, if you're not mixing it up and hearing the different opinions, I think that you get stagnant. You just get you. I was talking about travel the other day. I think more people need to travel, and it could be traveling across the state. It doesn't have to be across the world, to just interact with new people and foods and religions, and because I think that makes you a well-rounded person. But definitely, the more you, I know Julian Smith always has this challenge about reading a book a week, 52 books in a year, and I don't know if he's ever done it. I know he reads more than him and Mitch Joel read like it's candy. And
doesn't Mitch read like a book and a half a week?
Yeah, oh. He does, and he literally. And it's funny because at any point I'm like, Mitch, what should I read? And what was fun is he's reading. He just picked up a book I told him he had to read called Mastery by Robert Greene, and it's a tough read. And I told him, I said, I don't know how long it takes you to read that book, because it's thick and it's meaty reading. So I'll be curious to see if he pulls it off. But yeah, read as much as you can.
Noted. Certainly something that I want to continue to do for the remainder of my life, and I hope that I can one day get to the same level of a book a week.
Yeah, I would love to do. I can't, but man, I would love to.
Yeah. So, CeCe, I was listening to the Social Pros podcast last week, and you were on it. And one of the things that I latched onto that I heard you say was, and it's kind of a bit of a paraphrasing, but you have to like people to understand social media. I personally couldn't agree more. But here's a question. Do you think that small businesses are still missing the boat on that sentiment?
Yeah, they're clueless. They're clueless. And it's not just small businesses. I would say most brands and businesses across the board, whether you're one person or a million people, you're clueless. Businesses are, because, you know, everything has to track to the bottom line. I get that. At the end of the day, you have to make money or you go out of business. I get that. But trying to measure every tweet, you know, what's the ROI on me being on Twitter? You can't answer that necessarily, you know, because sometimes it's just you're talking to people and you're interacting, you're helping somebody, you know, even if it's not your business. If you happen to know the answer and you happen to be a business, people remember that stuff, and it goes a long way. And I just, you know, and I've been doing this a long time. I've consulted companies big and small, and it's from my first book, Content Rules. One of our first rules is, you know, speak human. And our publisher was like, do you really need to put that in there? And we said, yes, that's rule one, because everybody forgets it. To just have a conversation, you know, that's what I love, things like this. Like, we're talking, and it's not like, yes, dude. So, you know, it's just us being us, and it's not putting on a facade, which businesses seem to do. They seem to realize that they can have a personality. They can have an opinion. And yes, there's a great book that the Power of Unpopular by Erica. I always forget how to say Erica's last name. But anyways, she talks about, you know what? It's okay if not everybody likes you. It's all right. You know, the people who do like you are going to be rabid fans and supporters. Like Apple, she brings up. You know, Apple's the easy one. You either love or you hate Apple. There's very little middle ground. And Apple's doing all right as a business. So
no, I think they're doing okay.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
The funny thing about that is that I actually think that I'm in the middle in terms of the Apple thing. I have an Android phone. I plan on keeping my Android phone in terms of moving on, upgrading it. But I'm talking to you through a MacBook, and I have an iPad to my
left. And you
have
a Snowball, right?
I do.
I couldn't figure out what this little thing is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was like,
what's that little glowing red nipple thing? What is that? I didn't know.
I'm still trying to figure out the desk configuration when I'm doing the podcast.
Isn't it? It's a constant thing when you're doing things like this, right? But see here, this conversation we just had nothing to do with the business, but
no.
It shows that we're human. It shows that, you know, because I guarantee you someone who's watching has just giggled and went, I have that same problem, you know? So
we are actually robots that have been programmed to have different emotions based on the conversation that we've had.
Yeah, the first word of social media is social, and don't forget that. Interact. Humans like other humans.
Amen.
Well, some humans.
That's got to be why we love the storytelling part.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, Cece, one last question. If there was one thing you'd like to see change or occur in 2013 in the social media landscape, what would it be?
I had a whole bunch of snarky answers come to mind. Like, people stop worrying about their clout score. That was the first thing I thought of.
Oh, you and Jeff Gibbard would get along very, very nicely.
I have no problem with clout or cred. I think those are all great tools. I just see too many people relying on them and getting stressed about them. I just, you know, both sides of the equation, I just kind of giggle. I'm like, it's a measurement tool. It's one tool. There's plenty of other ones. What I want to see, I guess, you know what I want? Here's what I want. I know what I want, because I've wanted this for years, and I want better event management. This sounds weird, but like, perfect example. I'm at NMX just yesterday, and there's 8,000 parties and meetings and gatherings. And some people are using Eventbrite. Some people are using Facebook, PlanCast. There's got to be an easier way so I can pull up something and go, what are my friends going to? Like, and I can see what, you know, and, you know, option, you know, opt-in, all that stuff. But an easier way so events, I know what's going on. It drives me nuts that doesn't, you know, central calendaring, better calendaring. You know, the fact that my wife and I have to, like, we can't see all our calendars real easy drives me nuts. So social media, figure out that and a one-click bio is the other thing I want to make. I want someone where when I change jobs, I update a bio and it goes out to all the sites I've authorized in one click, because that would make my life easier.
And
there,
if
two
and
business if, ideas, somebody make it, please.
There you go. Entrepreneurs, get right on that. Mr. Chapman will send you his ideas. And,
I used to do that. I used to write blog posts, and they were called, it was like, you know, startup ideas you can steal. And I used to put them out there, and someone actually gave me crap. They're like, well, Cece, why don't you do that? And I said, because A, I don't have the passion to, like, I have no desire to. If I really did, I wouldn't be telling the world. And two, I really want it. And I want someone to take it, and I will pay money for these things. And but I'm like, you know what? I'll just throw them out there, and hopefully somebody takes them and does something with them.
Right. I think mine would probably have to be the expansion of the Twitter hashtag, because I think that while Twitter hashtags are great for different events and things, sometimes if you're coming in cold on Twitter and you look at something and you say, oh, what are all my friends doing with this hashtag? And then you just kind of see like different tweets talking about what it is and not what it actually is, or like, you know, what if you like were to click on the hashtag and it actually explained this is what it is? Like, if they actually brought you to another section that actually would explain this is what it is.
There was a company at one point who was like, it was like a directory of hashtags. I forget, it had some like, you know, drop the vowel, confuse you name. But, and I thought, well, that's cool. But then I have to actually go over to their site and type it in. But I Twitter should do that, right?
Yeah.
Like you could somehow register a hashtag almost, but you know, then who gets to register it? But it would be nice, wouldn't it? So you could find out what is that thing they're talking about.
Another thing to add to the ever-growing list of things to do.
Oh, but there's no new opportunities, right? Everything's been invented. See,
yeah.
Opportunity.
I have a big idea that I continue to sit on and just continue to work out with different things. So hopefully one day everybody will know what is going on in my head, because it'll be on their phones and different things. But until that day, Cece, thank you so very much for your precious time here with us on Social Echoes. Where can folks go to be social with you?
So I am here on Google+ if they're watching it here. But the easiest place to find me is cc-chapman.com. It's got links to everything. And amazingthingswillhappen.com will take you to the book page, and it's available everywhere books are sold.
Excellent. When does the audiobook come out, by the way? Any idea?
I recorded it right after Christmas. I went into the studio and we recorded it, and I know it's being edited, and all I know is Q1. I don't have a date yet, but it'll be up on Audible and in iTunes and everywhere. So sometime in Q1 of this year, the audiobook will be out.
Cannot wait to give that a listen. Everybody go out and get the book. Amazing Things Will Happen. That'll do it for this week's edition of Social Echoes. If you like the show, please subscribe via iTunes and leave a review so that others may discover the stuff we love producing for our listeners. Next week, we're starting a string of episodes that feature guests from our own backyard of Philadelphia. Our guest next week will be radio talk show host Brian Startari, and he'll be checking in to talk about how social has altered the way he engages with his listeners and his programming. Hope you'll join us. Take it easy until then. Bye-bye.